And can you imagine all the thoughts that were gone through Mary's heart? And I do ponder that, and I'll preach about part of that in just a little bit. But I am in love with Christmas season, and for many reasons. Many reasons I know that we get complaining about the commercialism, and I understand all that. But let's not let the injustices or the wrong that's done keep us from all the right that there is about it. This is the beautiful time that we get to share with everybody the true meaning of Christmas. And so sometimes we get so busy complaining about what people are doing wrong, we're not doing what's right. And so that's why I challenge you to take some of those gospel tracts. And yes, it's a way to get people to come to church, but usually I find that it's an easier inroad just to, or easier introduction rather, to people to say, hey, I'd like to invite you to an opportunity to come to church instead of just here, read this. So I want to make it easier on all of us, and I hope that we'll pass many of those out and get them in church. Well, as I mentioned, the Lord just seems to be changing. I'm going to preach about a difference, what a difference a baby makes. And so I'd like for you to find your place, if you would, in Luke chapter 2 as we begin the Christmas season officially here at our church. As you find your place in Luke chapter 2, we'll look at the Christmas story there. I did hear this other story, though, while you're finding your place in Luke 2, about this rich fellow that was trying to buy a gift for his daughter, and his daughter loved horses, and so he saw this poor fellow that had a beautiful white horse, just beautiful, long mane, long tail, and just thought it was a wonderful gift for his daughter. So he said, I'll give you $500 for that horse. And the poor man replied back, says, I don't know, mister, it don't look so good. He talked with quite an accent. He said, I don't know, mister, it don't look so good. And he just walked away. Well, he saw that same guy the next day, still a beautiful horse, and saw, I know that he needs the money. And so he came back and he says, I'm going to give you $1,000 for that horse. And the poor guy said, I don't know, mister. It don't look so good. I don't think so. Well, that just made the rich man just that much more determined. So he saw him again. On the third day, he said, all right, I'm not going to take no for an answer. I'm going to give you $2,000 for that horse, and I will not let you refuse. So finally, the poor fella, he said, okay, I'll take it. He took the money and he took the horse. So he brought that horse home to his daughter and she loved it. Oh, look at that long mane, Dad. It looks so beautiful. White. Look at that long tail. He's so regal. Everything's perfect about him, but she couldn't wait. She got up on him. She knew how to ride a little bit. And that horse just galloped away. But he galloped away and ran smack dab into a tree. And the little girl on top just catapulted over top of it, hit the tree as well, came down. She ended up being all right. Well, that guy, the rich man, he was just furious. He said, they've given me a defective horse. It said that horse just ran right into this oak tree. And he went back and found that poor guy. And he says, I demand an explanation for this horse. It looks like he's obviously blind. He says, what in the world's going on? Why'd you sell me a horse like that? The poor man says, I told you it don't look so good. It don't look so good as he's going out, you understand. So sorry, that's as good as the joke is getting today. I'm sorry. So they don't look so good. And I don't know why. It's like when somebody doesn't understand, you just continue to raise your voice. You know, I don't understand. But well, we're looking at Luke chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, let's just read from there. Maybe you've needed a little time just to stop and get in the Christmas season. We're at a great time. December 3rd, it's the beginning of it. Let's just absorb it all. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, and being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. As I mentioned, I want to preach for a little while about this. What a difference a baby makes. Father, bless us now is our prayer. You've gathered a wonderful group here today. And I pray, dear Lord, that you do a work in every one of our hearts. And I pray that we would allow that baby to make a difference in our lives, each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, after a long day on August the 12th, 2000, Jared, our firstborn, came into this world. We thought we were ready. We had strollers, we had car seats, we had cribs, we had bassinets and clothes, and we knew all about how our life was going to change. We had it all figured out. If you've got kids in here, you know how much we didn't have it figured out, although our assurance that we had it figured out was only surpassed by our realization that we didn't have anything figured out. We were in for a real awakening. I didn't realize when you came home from the hospital, none of those nurses came with you. So, you know, the first couple nights we were at the hospital, and they stayed a little longer then. And so when you got tired of hearing him, you just roll him in that cart down, and somebody would, it was just like magic. There was a nurse there ready to take him and bring him back till he needed something. And said, well, and then we got him fed or whatever, then just wheel him on back. I thought, this is wonderful. This isn't so bad. And so then we had Jared, and Amy's mom was there, I think, on that first one. And then we have Jared, our firstborn. Then we have our redhead. She's our second one, our middle child. And so when she came, Amy's mom couldn't be there. And so on the first time, my life went on just like normal. I went to bed at normal times. I got up at normal times. I didn't hear anything in the middle of the night. Amy and her mom took care of all of that. But then when Maddie got here, our redhead, Amy's mom was a little delayed in getting there. And all of a sudden, I realized that they cry in the middle of the night. I thought they just slept through like the rest of us normal people. And then we had Allison. She was born down in Nashville at the Baptist Hospital in Nashville proper. And so I always say I have a firstborn, our redhead, and then our Southern Baptist, because she was born here in the South in the Baptist Hospital. But it's true that a baby makes life a lot different. But this baby that we're talking about this morning, when Mary laid him in the manger because there was no room for him in the inn. Everybody doesn't act the same way about the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that as you get to talk to people. Some of them, they have some hatred toward him. Some of them, they are indifferent toward him. Some of them are certainly in love with him. It's amazing. Everybody responds differently, but everybody's affected by the Lord Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, Jared was born in Iowa in a Catholic hospital, and Maddie, our redhead, was born in that same Catholic hospital, and then Allie was born in the Baptist hospital in Nashville. And I visited up there when we used to live in Ohio. I visit every very often the Riverside Methodist Hospital. And as I go into hospitals down here everywhere, oftentimes we'll find a chapel and there's a cross on there. And everybody might not love the Lord Jesus Christ, but everybody's life's been affected by some of the works that have been poured out of people that loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Harvard University was initially started to train Congregationalist clergy. They were a training ground for preachers that were going to go around the world, around the land there and preach. Yale University was started by a group of ministers also. College of William and Mary, they actually required their students to be church members and be a part of a church somewhere if they were going to come to that college. And so, to say the least, this baby that we read about in Luke chapter 2, that all of us are going to celebrate his birth, to say the least, that baby caused quite a stir. And I want to make sure that every one of us in this room and everybody listening, that you make sure that you've allowed the difference to be made in your life, that the baby that didn't stay a baby, that grew and went to a cross and went to a tomb and then rose again, that baby has made all the difference in your life that he wants to make. But I want to look at a couple things here in the passage and another passage in Matthew to speak a little bit about how different people's lives were. Would you look at verse number 17 of our text that we're in? Chapter 2, verse 17. We see, first of all, that the shepherds were very excited. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child, Luke 2, verse number 17. And then look in verse number 20 of that same chapter. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. As they saw this baby, they rejoiced, and they couldn't contain the excitement. God used those shepherds to go spreading that word to everybody around there that there was a baby. And they came the first announcers around there, that they went and they told people that there was a baby over there, that this baby they had to see, and their shepherds were very excited. Now, you would think that everybody would be excited, but they were not. We understand that Herod, if you remember the story, if you want to hold your place there in Luke, look back in Matthew, which is back two books. The gospel message that tells the same story but gives just a slightly different view of some things. In Matthew chapter 2, verse number 3, We saw, first of all, that the shepherds were very excited, and I hope that you're that way this morning as you're looking at the Christ child, you're looking at the birth, and you're looking at this wonderful Advent season, you're looking at all the time that we get to have together with the celebration of Christmas, and you're excited. But Matthew chapter 2, verse number 3, the Bible says, when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. How on earth would the king be afraid of something so small as a baby? You may not be a believer. You may not be somebody who gives full assent to the fact of who Christ was, but you've got to understand that the king that had everything at his disposal, if he's going to be shaking in his proverbial boots because of a baby that was born, then something was special about this baby. What would it be that made that powerful king like Herod be thinking that would let a baby bother him? Well, you remember that was on the tail end of those wise men as they came there. In verse number 1, it says, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he that's born, King of the Jews? And those words started fretting Herod, and those words started getting him worried, because he knew in his wickedness, he knew in his atrocities that he was going to commit here in just a few verses, he knew that there was something to be feared and revered about this baby. And I would ask us this morning, as we are starting into this Christmas season, we see the auditorium so decorated so beautifully as the ladies and some folks have been working on this, and hopefully your house is getting that way, and you see all the things in the stores, and I realize what some of us are saying, oh, it's too commercialized, and they're just trying to take that and make money off of it. I understand that part, but it still makes us go back to the root of it and beginning and say, well, what is the reason for all this stuff? And as Herod was troubled, there's a lot of people in this world that, although it seems like a great time of the year to me, there are some people in our world that this is the worst time of the year for them, because it reminds them that their theology, if they have any, their thinking is wrong. What a difference a baby makes. The shepherds who were, if you can think with me for a while, history tells us that shepherds were not the upper crust of society. They were instead the ones that everybody blamed if something went wrong. They were the ones that if there was a group of shepherds that was coming through your region, and things, as they were migrating their animals, if things came up missing at your home, then it was typical that folks would have blamed the shepherds because they just had a negative connotation. But God took some of the people who the society didn't care much about and allowed them to be the ones that promoted the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It made a difference in their lives. And then you take the king, the upper crust, and it got him shaking in his boots about this baby. And I would have to say, what a difference a baby makes. I want you to look back in Luke chapter 2 if you saved your place there. But not only were the shepherds excited, but the Herod was troubled. But as Josie sang so well a little bit ago, Luke 2, verse number 19. Here we have the mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary, pondered. Herod was troubled, but Mary just kept all these things in her heart, the Bible says, and pondered them in her heart. Now think with me for a little bit. Joseph was visited by an angel and was told that everything was all right. Fear not to take this woman to yourself. And he put her away or took care of her and secluded her because of image and all. But Joseph would have been told by the angel that things were all right. The shepherds had a word from the heavenly host that everything was all right. And other people came, and the wise men, they came and they worshiped, and they put their, this is the Christ child. But there was one person who knew more than every other person that what was being born, who was being born was born of miraculous birth. Joseph, you say, yeah, but he had word from the angel. Yes, but the shepherds, yes, angels announced it. The wise men, yes, followed their star and they've come to worship. But there was one person who had lived with herself all of her life, and she knew that she was a virgin. She knew that she was pure. She knew that she was clean. Yet she knew that she was still going to be the mother of a little baby. No wonder the scripture says Mary kept all these things in her, pondered them in her heart. And so that little baby, she had to let all of that sink down in on her, and she simply kept all these things and meditated on it. I'm so impressed with this young lady. She didn't become obnoxious and make everybody else believe her story. She didn't go defending herself and demanding that people believe what her rhetoric was. She saw no need to demand that her reputation be cleared. Bible simply says she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Did you ever notice that the truth doesn't mind a challenge? If you're standing in the right position and there's people that are talking very loudly, maybe even louder than you are, that the volume of their argument doesn't change the truth of where you stand. Right now, we see that in our society, right? I'm as convinced as I could possibly be that there's one way to heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, as in John chapter 14, the baby grew up and he was the Messiah all along, but grew up to went to the cross. But he said that there's only one way to heaven. I'm as convinced of that as I'm standing in this room right now. But there's a lot of people who would vehemently disagree with that, and they would get loud about it. But the truth doesn't mind a challenge. And Mary knew who she was, and she knew what her history was. And when people would defame and deny, she simply kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We see that Mary pondered. I want you to look back again at Matthew, and we see that we've already alluded to, but Matthew chapter 2, verse number 11, that we see that Mary pondered, but then we see that the wise men, those ones that got Herod shaking and those ones that got him all worried, that came to him first, and the Lord led him on to where they found the young child, the Bible says in Matthew 2:11. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we had the shepherds. They're the offscouring to some degree. We had the king who was worried. But then we had the elite of the day, the wise men, the people who were very wise in how they understood and looked at the signs of the times. And they literally bowed before a baby and presented him gifts. As if they had gone to see a king, because they were, but as if they had gone to see a king of a vast land, they went and presented him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So my friend, I don't know where you find yourself this morning. Maybe you're more like the shepherds. Well, my family's never been counted much for anything. Whenever something happened in our community, they always looked at us. The baby would make a difference in your life. Maybe you're the one that's scoffing and upset about all of the hoopla about the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the baby wants to make a difference in your life. Maybe you're the one that you do come from somebody who has an upstanding reputation in the community. Do you know what you need to do? Just as these wise men did. You need to bow before the baby. You need to bow before the baby who did not stay a baby but grew and went to the cross and died and was risen again and sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven now. You see, on our little family, our three children, since August the 12th, 2000, Our life has never been the same. Because as I said, in 2000, Jared, in 2002, Maddie, and then 2006, Allie came. And so our life has been so much fuller and richer. It's been poorer in the way as far as our finances, but I'm talking about in the fun, it's been richer. But I have a suspicion that I thought for some time that whenever they got out of the house, then our income would be greater, not our income, but how much we have left over. But then somebody cued me in, as soon as that happens, then probably some grandkids come, and then grandma spends more than mom did. So I'm not looking forward to all that, I guess. But our life has been fuller, richer, louder, more fun, because a baby came into our house. But you see, that's nothing compared to what this old world, what happened to this old world when a baby came to Bethlehem's manger. Undoubtedly, your life has been totally changed because of a baby. As I mentioned, very likely the hospital that many of you were born in was started by some Christian group. Howbeit, maybe they went far away from their foundings, but from some Christian group. And not only that, this church that has stood here for 245 years has had one purpose for over all of these two and a half centuries nearly, and that is to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Salvation Army, that some of you have seen the bell ringers, that they stand at the entrance of stores throughout our cities. The reason they're doing that is because of the Lord Jesus Christ's work in William Booth's life. And as he started this little Salvation Army to go out and help people, bring them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The rescue missions that are rescuing people off of cold streets in our land today, many of them started because of the gospel that reached somebody and they said, it's going to reach me and I'm going to use it to reach someone else. My friend, I'm just trying to tell us this morning that the baby, the Christ child, the Savior, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. This world has never been the same since that night in Bethlehem. Deny it, defame it, preach against it. Our lives have never been the same. And if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, would you let God do all the work in your Christian life that He wants to do this Christmas season? I'd like to give everybody a big time out and remind us before it's too late, before it's past Christmas, before we're into the new year, and you say, oh, I was so rushed, I didn't even really worship the Lord during this Christmas season. Here we are, your pastor's asking you before it even gets started, take a time out, take you and your family and say, listen, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, but as for me in my house, we're going to realize what Christmas is all about. And then if you're here this morning and you do not know for sure the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, my friend, He didn't come to have somebody start those hospitals, to have somebody start those feeding missions, to have somebody start those homeless rescue missions. He didn't come to start all of these different groups and entities and organizations. He came, the Bible says, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that's where you and I come in. He came to save you and I from our sins. When it really boils down to the true message of Christmas, I love getting together with family. Amy's had Christmas decorations up since, I don't know when. She wanted to do it in July, but we said, no, enough's enough. Sometime Octoberish, I think. We love it. I love Christmas caroling. I love the decorations. I love the hustle. I love all of it. But as we boil it all down, the truth of this Christmas season that everybody needs to proclaim is Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, came to this earth to live a life, perfect, sinless life, and He came to go to the cross to sacrifice Himself for your sins and for mine. And so although I'm benefiting greatly still from all of the wonderful entities that are started because of Christian groups. I benefit primarily because years ago, I understood that Jesus came to this earth for me. And he was a cute little baby, I'm sure, but grew and was a gruesome figure on an old rugged cross as they ripped and beard out and beat him mercilessly. Everybody loves that birth story, but it's the same Savior that went to that cross. And he knew before the foundation of the world what he was going to do, and he was born, as the song says, to die. And my friend, I'm asking you, if you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ, you have received him as your personal Savior, today would you put your belief, your trust, your faith in him? And you'll say with me, what a difference a baby makes. Would you bow your heads together with me? Father, I pray that you would do your work in everyone's heart this morning. Lord, I ask you to save a soul that's unsaved this morning. Lord, let them open their eyes. Let them see. Draw them to yourself. Let them see that they need Jesus Christ. And Lord, if there's several, many, most of the Christians in this room that need to stop right now, before Christmas gets full on, and say, I'm going to honor Christ this Christmas season. I'm not going to get caught up in all of the hustle and bustle and forget what the real meaning of Christmas is. I will share the gospel with somebody that needs it this Christmas season. I will take some of these little invite cards that has the gospel in written form. I will try to make a difference and let that baby make a difference in the lives of some people this Christmas season. Lord, whatever you're leading people to do, I ask you, dear Father, to work in our hearts, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together with us as they begin to play? If God's speaking to your heart, would you slip out and come? Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. Not sure you're on your way to heaven. Brother Daniel's standing right in front of the pulpit that I preach from. Would love to just take a Bible. It's such a simple thing to be saved on our part, but sometimes people just miss it. They miss Jesus Christ because of all of the religion and things that they've had around them. Maybe you have some other need in your heart. Maybe you need to commit this day to say Christmas will mean something different in my life this year. Whatever your need is, as they play another verse or two, if God's dealing with your heart, would you come? Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you come pray by yourself. You don't want to need anybody to pray with you, but just would like to come and meet with the Lord, then please do that. Perhaps you're here, you need to be baptized. We didn't preach on that, of course, but you've been saved, but you never followed Christ in baptism. You'd like to present yourself for that. Would you step out and come? Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Whatever your need is, let's let the Lord have his way in our life this day. Thank you. You may look this way, and what a joyous way to start off the Christmas season. And I want to thank each of you for being here. So good to have Brother Eisenhower. Thank you for being here with us and your family. And we're certainly continuing to pray for you all and the passing of his sweet mother. And we've got other folks we're praying for. Keep on lifting up in prayer, if you would, Miss Sharon Harmon And if schedule continues, she'll go for a treatment tomorrow, but please keep her lifted up in prayer. Be praying for Brother Bob Bryant, please, if you would. And we ask the Lord just to strengthen him, and praying for Kim Brummett and Karen Cole. We've got many folks to pray for. Bill Magnus was in the hospital but got out yesterday, and praying for Brother Jerry Scalf as he continues to battle some health issues. So we've got many folks to pray for, and we'll just lift them up in prayer. But I'm going to ask Brother Jordan Smith, if you don't mind, to come and pray for us as we go. I challenge you, like I said, to get some of those Christmas invites, and then that card that's great and mighty. Amy and I'll be out by that table if you need to find out where they are. I challenge you to stick one of those in your Bible and write some things on there. Drop it off the next service or two, and we'll just give the Lord some glory for the things that he's done in our lives, and just lift up his name. So, Brother Jordan, pray for us, please. Thank you.
Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to come together and worship as a church family. Lord, thank you for your son that you sent. Lord, to stand in each one of our place and take the sin debt that we deserved. Lord, what a glorious month we're about to celebrate. But Lord, the story didn't conclude in a manger. Lord, it concluded there on Calvary and when he raised again. Lord, and he's coming back. Lord, you're coming back for your people. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, thank you for all your blessings. Lord, I pray that you would guide each one of us through this season. Lord, guide us a safe home today and bring us back at the next appointed time. Lord, we ask all this in the precious name of Jesus.